Let us pray. God of love, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. The five-year-old nephew of the bride was chosen to be in charge of carrying the rings down the aisle. At the wedding rehearsal, he was unusually unruly. He kept leaping out at people, baring his teeth, and then chasing the flower girls all over the place. He growled and snarled as he practiced going down the aisle. He brandished the pillow like it was a pistol. Finally, his mother pulled him aside and demanded to know why he was behaving so badly. "But Mom," he explained, "I have to act fierce. I'm the ring bearer." Like so many of us, that little boy misunderstood just what role he was to play. He thought he was called to be big, imposing, fearsome, large, and in charge. He thought he was to be the star of the show. He thought the spotlight was his. But he wasn't supposed to be a bear. He was supposed to offer the supportive role of ring bearer. His role was important. The pastor, not to mention the bride and the groom, needed those rings down in front when the time came. But the focus of the wedding ceremony was not on the ring bearer. The reason for the wedding celebration was not him. In this week's Advent scripture, the author of the Gospel of John has no trouble distinguishing the one who bears witness to the light from the one who actually is the light. John the Baptist is a man sent from God, but he is still just a man. When he's confronted and grilled by the representatives of the highest religious authorities, those whose livelihood and life work centered around the exclusivity of the temple, those questioners are concerned that John himself may be a new incarnation of one of Judaism's most celebrated and anticipated figures. The religious establishment was concerned about who just John might be. But as this designation from Jerusalem quizzes John, at first all they get is confirmation about who he is not. Before they could even mention any messianic musings, John adamantly denies any hold on that title. "I am not the Messiah," John says. As they try to pin down his identity, this temple contingent offers him the opportunity to claim other important roles. Is he Elijah, there to usher in the day of the Lord? Is he a new Moses, a new direct mouthpiece for God's words to the world? John doesn't want to talk about it. John doesn't want to talk about himself, about who or what he may or may not be. Despite his glowing popularity, the swelling crowds, and now attracting the interest of the Jerusalem temple big shots, John refuses to let himself be the center of attention. The only identity he will claim is that of the voice. And the voice of John is only raised to proclaim the one who is the Word. John the Baptist would have made a terrible TV reality star. He's about as far from the Kardashian clan as you can get. By now, our 21st century culture perpetually glows in the dark because everyone has trained a big blazing spotlight upon their own lives. We find ourselves so fascinating that every move we make is worthy of broadcasting to the world. We tweet every thought that skitters through our minds. We YouTube ourselves singing and dancing in our living rooms. We cover our Facebook wall with our choice of purchasing a vanilla latte, wearing plaid socks, or even what it is we made for dinner. On reality TV, the obscenely rich flaunt their excesses, and the extremely mean flaunt their bad behavior. Andy Warhol sadly underestimated the power of the media. We no longer get 15 minutes of fame. We are famous in our own minds every minute of every day. But John the Baptist, he refused to step into the spotlight. He knew that his divinely gifted mission was to bear witness to the light, not to stand center stage in the spotlight. Every year at Advent season, we are all reminded to take up John's mission to announce to a dark and troubled world that the light is coming. We're not the light. The light is coming. Even in the midst of COVID, decking the halls, Christmas concerts, cookie baking marathons, shopping sprees, fulfilling cherished family traditions of all kinds. These are all wonderful, but they are not the focus of Advent. They are not the source of the light. What we are doing in our lives is not the reason for the season. What we can buy for others is not the heartbeat of our preparation and our waiting. What God is preparing to do for the world is the glowing center of Advent. In the words of Dr. Seuss to the Grinch, after his conversion to the happy ways of the Whos down in Whoville, maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. It usually takes a big winter storm to remind us that we really do have the same favorite things, electricity and plumbing. When a big blow shuts off the power and we're suddenly stranded in the dark, we immediately go looking for a light. The first person who forges out into the dark and finds the flashlight is appreciated, but it's really the light itself that everyone wants. This Advent season bears the light. Don't be the light. Don't seek the spotlight. Bear the light so that Jesus can shine. We don't need any more spirit of Christmas. What we need is more spirit of Christ. Traditionally at St. John, this Sunday would have been the children's Christmas program. Alas, COVID-19 claims yet another victim. But I came across this beautiful story and I want to share it with you. It was the annual bathrobe drama, also known as the Christmas pageant. Unlike previous years, however, the students this evening seem to be approaching their Please the Parents assignment as less a duty than a delight. Maybe it was the everyone has a line level of interactivity and the fast pace of the narrative. Maybe it was the theme of angels, which makes everyone's heart flutter. Or maybe it was the choreography, especially for those teenagers present, with the Radio City Rockettes-like segue that moved from Music of Silent Night to Joy to the World. It was almost too perfect. Lines delivered flawlessly. Solos pitched true and pure. Duets harmonized like Amy Grant and Vince Gill. Then came the littlest shepherds. Each one was dressed in a white toga with a metallic blue frilly sash tied at the waist and a robin's egg blue bandana around each forehead. One after another, 6 and 7-year-olds stepped to the microphone and delivered a sentence of no more than a few words. Then, finally, it was the turn of the littlest of the little shepherds. Like the otter parting the waters with his furry head, Jared merged from the crowd with an absolute confidence, grabbed the microphone and said with a noticeable lisp, it was like, you could feel the panic in his face. He looked to the prompter who whispered the rest of his lines and he tried again. It was like, once again, the prompter gave him his lines, this time a little louder. Jared looked about ready as though he was going to cry. And he tried again. It was like, this time the prompter spoke out loud enough for everyone to hear. And Jared tried one more time. It was like, then he mumbled something under his breath and put his head down, returning to the cast, dragging his heart to the floor with him. But like the appearance of the beavers in the movie, The Chronicles of Narnia, what happened next stole the show. The other members of the cast gathered around their littlest shepherd and showered him with praise, encouragement, smiles, and hugs. The entire cast, as if in one motion, gathered him up in their love and sent him back to his place with more confidence and conviction than when he had stepped to the front with such unwarranted bravado. And in that singular act of compassion, that singular act of tenderness, in that bearing the light of love, I saw the Star of Bethlehem shine as bright as 2,000 years ago. My friends, this Advent, this Christmas, let us all share the joy that is the opportunity to bear the light. Amen.